Did I mention that this year is our church's 20th anniversary? It's our 20th anniversary. And I don't really believe in celebrating the church anniversary every year. But if it's like 10th year or 20th year, I think it's worth celebrating. So we'll do some, something to celebrate our 20th anniversary sometime in March. Our leaders thought that this is a good time for us to revisit the church vision and mission, especially after we had many inputs from the members at the retreat about my church is blank. And we will share our modified vision narrative and our direction for the next 5 years at our anniversary, which is going to be in March. But today I want to introduce to you the theme for this year. And as I prayed and discussed about the direction of our church with the leaders, this theme gradually emerged, and it is simply open our eyes, open our eyes. In our 20th year, we can ask God to open our eyes to see what God has done here at this church, at Cornerstone Church, for the past 20 years. And we can ask God to show us what God wants to achieve through us in the next 5, 10, 20 years. This theme is based on Ephesians chapter 1, which was the text our leaders looked at as we discussed our vision and the direction of the church. So let me read you the passage, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16 through 19. I have not stopped giving you thanks, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened or opened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. In his prayer for Ephesians, Paul is asking God to open their eyes to know these three things. First is open their eyes to know God, to know Jesus better. Second, open their eyes to know the hope of their calling, which includes the rich inheritance in God's kingdom. And third, open their eyes to know God's power for those who believe in Jesus. And today I want to focus on just the first prayer, And in the following Sundays, I'll talk about the second and third request. The first prayer request of Paul is, in verse 17, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. This is Paul's prayer for believers to grow in the knowledge of God, not just grow in information about God, but to grow in the two-way relationship, in a living relationship with God. If we want to grow deeper in our relationship with God, this is a prayer we can all pray. In Paul's prayer, he mentions all three persons in the Trinity: the glorious Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. This reminds us that God is relational. Within the Trinity, there is a perfect relationship of love between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God created us so that we can be in relationship with God. Being a Christian means that we are on a journey of knowing God and being known by God. Jesus described eternal life as a joyful process of knowing God and knowing His Son, Jesus. So even if we have failed God in the past year, God still desires to know us, and God desires us to know Him. Now, do we want to know more of this relational God? How can we know God? As with all relationships, it begins with a personal introduction. I was 33 when I got married, and I met Joo-sung, my wife, in Korea. I was, you know, living on the East Coast, and I flew all the way to South Korea just to meet her, because my mom knew her mom, and they felt, you know, both of us were sort of getting past the age of marriage, and they learned that, you know, none of us were married yet, so they're like, why don't we let them meet? So I went there to meet her. And I wasn't really sure that I would be compatible with her, because I grew up here in the States and she grew up in South Korea. So I was sort of doubtful. But from the first day, something clicked, and I felt like I knew this person for a long, long time. And that first personal meeting took my life in a whole new direction. And it is the same with our relationship with Jesus Christ. Since Jesus is a person, to know Jesus is to enter into a personal relationship with Him. We enter into a personal relationship with Jesus when we hear the gospel and realize that we need a Savior because we are a sinner. We renounce our own merits and we depend on the merits of Jesus to be accepted by God. You receive and believe Jesus as your King, and you decide to submit to Him and to follow Him. You get baptized and you are saved. You have met Christ personally. Some people do not know when they committed their lives to Christ, and that's okay, because some people don't know the date they got married. Once a survey was done, which asked a question to the churchgoers: are you sure that you are saved? And this is what some people who go to church have responded: not sure. Maybe yes or maybe no. How can anyone know for sure? I mean, these are, you know, people who's been going to church and they're not sure that they are saved. Now, suppose you ask a married couple the same question, a similar question: are you sure that you are married to each other? And can you imagine the couple saying, not sure? Maybe yes or maybe no? Or asking, how can anybody know for sure? People may not remember the first time they met Christ personally, but one thing is certain. If you are a Christian, you have a personal relationship with Jesus. Christianity is all about your relationship with God, and secondarily, about your relationship with other people. Once you have met somebody, then you have to cultivate that relationship. Relationships cannot grow without spending time together and getting to know one another through conversation and shared experiences. We get to know about the other person's history, about the family, likes and dislikes, hopes and fears. And if we do something wrong to offend that person, we ask for forgiveness to restore that relationship. And again, it's the same in our relationship with Christ. It requires cultivation. It requires time. When a young man and a young woman click and they want to know each other, they can be extremely busy and yet they make the time to meet and get to know each other. My seminary friend was in a long-distance relationship with a girl who became eventually his wife. And when they were dating, they lived in two different cities about 4 hours apart. But every weekend, my friend drove 4 hours just to see her and spend time with her. On the weekend, everything else got pushed aside to pursue his relationship with her. In the midst of our busy lives, do we make time to be with God one-on-one? Do we have our quiet time out of guilt or out of duty? Or do we seek to know Jesus intimately, personally? We are finite beings and we cannot know the infinite God on our own. We cannot know God through our philosophy or speculation or by our experience or imagination. The transcendent God can only be known if God chooses to reveal himself. We can know God because God has chosen to reveal himself to us. And how does God reveal himself to us? God reveals himself through the person and the work of Jesus Christ. And Jesus is revealed in the scriptures and through the Holy Spirit. Now in our passage, Paul calls the Holy Spirit the Spirit of wisdom and revelation. In John 16, Jesus says that the Spirit is the Spirit of truth, who will guide us into all truth. And Jesus said that the Holy Spirit will receive what is of mine and reveal them to you. And how does the Holy Spirit reveal Jesus to us? The Spirit can reveal Jesus to us in many different ways, but the primary way, the preferred way, is to reveal Jesus through the Scriptures, through the Bible. After all, the Holy Spirit is the author of the Bible. He wrote the Bible himself. The Spirit will always use the Bible to open the eyes of our hearts to see Jesus. And that is also the witness of Paul in this very chapter, Ephesians 1. In the preceding passage, Paul says that one of the blessings that we have received from God is that we were revealed of a mystery, the mystery of his will. And where is God's mystery revealed? And Paul answers it in verse 13, that is revealed in the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. So the Spirit of truth always reveals Christ in the word of truth. The scriptures are like God's love letter to us, revealing what's on his heart so that we can know Christ personally and intimately. During the Protestant Reformation, the Reformers emphasized two attributes of the Bible. One attribute is sufficiency. The Reformers believe that the Bible reveals all that we need to know about God, our salvation, and about how we can live as God's people. But the Catholic Church in the Middle Ages taught that the revelation of God's Word needed to be supplemented by the traditions of the Church. And they claimed that the Church traditions were of equal value, as equally authoritative as the Bible. The Reformers did not deny the value of human traditions, but they claimed that human tradition cannot be an equal source of revelation. The Bible is, you know, above all other forms of revelation. And the other attribute is clarity. The Reformers claimed that though not everything in the Bible is clear, the essential message of salvation in Christ comes very plainly. It's just so obvious. It's very clear. By the late Middle Ages, again, the church had come to believe that Bible had to be interpreted only by the clergy. The Catholic Church claimed that the scriptures are so obscure and can be easily misinterpreted, so lay people should not read the Bible on their own. They claimed the clergy will read it and interpret it for you. The Reformers spoke of the clarity of the scripture to counter this claim. The Westminster Confession asserts that everything necessary for salvation is so clearly propounded that both the learned and the unlearned can understand adequately. While admitting that everything in the Bible is not clear, the Reformed Church emphasized that no intermediaries are necessary to interpret the scripture. Trained clergy can help, but anyone can read and understand the basic message of the Bible. However, the Reformers were aware that something further was needed to make the letters of the Bible become a living word in our hearts. John Calvin wrote, "The word will not find acceptance in human hearts before it is sealed by the inward testimony of the Holy Spirit." The Spirit is not only the author of the Bible, but the one who makes the words of Scripture come alive in us. So in the Reformed worship, traditionally there was a prayer of illumination before the Scripture reading. The prayer was an appeal to the Holy Spirit to shed His light on God's Word and to make it productive in our lives. Though our minds are capable of understanding the words in the Bible, without the inward working of the Spirit, the words cannot penetrate into our hearts, and they don't change us. Then how about the parts of the Bible that are not so clear, that are difficult? That's why we need to do a Bible study. That's what the Bible study is for. Concentrated study can help us interpret the Bible better, and there are treasures in the Bible that can be dug out by a careful study. When we gain a deeper insight or understanding of God through the scriptures, then God's word becomes sweeter than honey to our mouths, and they can help us to grow in our relationship with God. To know God, we must be committed to the reading, to the study and meditation of the scriptures. To know God, we must depend on the Holy Spirit to open the eyes of our hearts so that the word can penetrate into our inner person. But it is still possible to read and study God's word and still not come to know God intimately. In addition to reading and studying and meditating, we also need to obey God's word. In John 14:21, Jesus says, "Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and will show myself to them." If we only meditate on the word and not obey the word, then we are not fully loving Jesus with all our hearts. We're loving God only partially. But those who love God with all their hearts, they're the ones who obey God's word. I think that those who study and meditate on the word do receive God's revelation, but Jesus reveals more of himself. He reveals more of his love to those who obey the word. Our love for Jesus expressed through obedience, that is the key to knowing. That is the key to having a vibrant relationship with God. So this year, we want to be nurtured by God's word and God's people to grow in our relationship with Jesus. We are planning to offer one or two Bible studies in the spring and also in the fall and possibly in the summer. And we want to nurture our small group leaders and Sunday school teachers by having more regular trainings. And we want to grow by having discipling relationships in groups of two or three. My personal complaint was that although I had one semester of discipleship with a senior when I was in college, just one semester. After that, I never really had a discipling relationship with a pastor. I think, senior pastors are just so busy with church work that they don't have time to invest in, their associate pastors or, children's pastor, youth pastors. So that was my complaint. But I realized recently while I was talking with a leader that maybe it's not too late for me, even for me as a pastor, to be discipled by another older, more experienced pastor. So that's what I want to seek for myself. I have this one particular pastor in mind who has many years of experience discipling others. So I want to contact him and ask him, can you disciple me? Can you be my mentor? So I want to be mentored personally, and I want to mentor maybe one or two, and we will ask other older folks in our church to volunteer as mentors, and we will get this discipleship going again, just as we did before. So, we want to be nurtured by God's word, and we want to pursue our relationship. We want to know Jesus more by reading, studying, and meditating, and obeying God's word. Let's pray.